Hey, you know me. I don't like to do things like normal churches do it. So most churches release a direction or something that is like our theme or of all the teaching is going to blanket under. Oh, I'm releasing that today. I always feel like it's a new year when we're coming into like the school year. So we are, everything that we're going to be teaching for a while is going to fall under this concept: reality, spirit, identity. And so today we're just going to do an overview of all three of them, but really all of these things come together. Do you think the way that we're going, that a lot of people are really understanding what reality is? I mean, reality is not 64 genders. Reality is not having a male beat up a woman at the Olympics, and we call it winning a gold medal in boxing. We are so far living outside of reality that it's almost a little scary. Now, when we talk about reality, we're talking about truth, and I'm going to show you some of those scriptures today. And then the spirit goes along with reality because the spiritual is who we really are. The Bible says in Thessalonians that we are three parts. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Who you are in the spirit when you are in Christ is who you really are. And the Bible says you are either in Christ and alive because of Christ, or if you don't know Christ, you're actually dead. The Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 1 that we were dead in our transgressions. And so if you have not come to Christ, you are a walking zombie. In a sense, in the spiritual sense. And you could say, well, I have breath in my lungs, my brain works for the most part. But it doesn't matter, because when the day comes, when this is no more and your spirit is let loose, that's all that's going to matter. And your spirit's only going to go to one of two places, amen? And that's why it's important to know that. So everything that you have in Christ is reality, but it's in the spirit. And then thirdly is identity. Your identity should be in Christ alone. We are either in Christ or we are not in Christ. And again, there's a lot of things that we could talk about. We're actually learning this at men's group from Dan Moeller on, it's called Identity Crash Course. And even positive identities can be bad for you. If your identity is wrapped up in what you do for a living, if your identity is wrapped up in who you are as a parent, if your identity is wrapped up so on and so forth, then the moment something doesn't go that way in that area of your life, you're going to fall apart and you're going to get broken really fast. Does this make sense? If you're somebody who's known as like just like the best worker at your job and then you get fired and your identity was wrapped up in that, you're going to lose it. If your identity is wrapped up on an I'm a really good parent and then your kid starts to go off the rails, you're going to lose it. And I'm not just saying you're going to lose it because you don't want your kid off the rails, but because you have created an identity for yourself that you are a good parent. But think about it. If your identity isn't completely in Christ, how many of you know Jesus ain't going to fall off the throne? How many of you know Jesus is the perpetual king of the universe? So if your identity is in him, then nothing that ever happens in your life, you're going to be rattled. Why? Because you're in Jesus. Now, again, the thing that we've been talking about at men's group, and we've got two more weeks on this, is going, that seems pretty simple. The hard part is we're flesh. We see things. We hear things. We feel pain. We feel when someone says something hurtful to us and all of those kinds of things. But I would argue that's because we are more in tune with this world than we are with our spirit. And the Bible talks about that everywhere. Paul talks about it constantly, flesh versus spirit. That inside me, he says, that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. So I'm going to do an overview of this today, but my goal is everything, well, I would hope it's the Holy Spirit's goal because he put it on my heart, that everything we teach on is going to come back to one or not, if or not all three of these concepts. So let me give you just a couple scriptures that you've probably heard me preach on many times. But we're going to look at them again. You cannot get too much of the Word of God. Okay, so we're going to start off in John chapter 8. If you've got your phones, if you've got the church app, all of this is in your notes. You can look up here. You can look in your YouVersion. And those of you who have only been here a couple times or maybe just visiting, I take the time to go through and pull out the Greek. So if some of you are like, I don't have a single version that reads this way, that's why. So John 8, 31 through 32 says this. Jesus was saying to the Jews that believed in him. Now, I made that really big because it's important to know that it says they believed in him. There's a lot of talk about how, oh, well, if you just believe in Jesus, you'll be saved. Then what was James talking about when he said, even the demons believe and tremble? So we many times preach a gospel, and I acknowledge that in many times it's just ignorance or we just don't know. Is that just believe in Jesus and you'll be saved? And yes, that is important. But Jesus talks about abiding in the vine. Jesus talks about if you're my disciples, all of these kinds of things. So this says already that they believed in him. And if we believe in Jesus and we just think it's enough just to acknowledge his existence, then why go to church? Why change your life? Why do anything? Because all you have to do is just acknowledge his existence. So this was saying he is preaching to a whole crowd of people that have already believed in him. And that's simply the word believe is the word trust. They trusted in him. So Jesus is speaking to them. He says this, if you remain in my word, then you are my true disciples. If he says those that remain in his word are true disciples, what do you think that this implies? That there could be what kind of disciples? Fake, false, pseudo disciples. If you remain in my word, why? Because for us to believe in Christ, our life should change. Not instantaneously, not overnight, but we should be in forward progression of learning how that the light in us is supposed to shine. So he says, if you remain in my word, then you are my true disciples. And again, the word truth is always the word reality. When the Greeks of those days used the word aletheia, it did mean truth, but the most common understanding was reality. I don't have this scripture verse up there, but when Jesus is talking to Pilate, Pilate's trying to figure it out. He can't receive it from Jesus. And Jesus is talking about truth. He's talking about reality. And Pilate says, what is reality? Now you're like, well, but my Bible says, what is truth? But how many of you know that Pilate was a Roman? So his understanding when he's speaking with Jesus is they're talking about reality. And Pilate says, what is reality? So Jesus says, you're my true disciples, you're my reality disciples. Also, in addition to, you will know the truth. And he doesn't say you'll just know truth. It is a definite article, the truth. If there is the truth, that definite article means single to the exclusion of another. There is no other truth than what Jesus Christ brings. And that's what's going on in the world. And I would even argue in some cases, that's what's going on in the church. That's why here at Seven Mountains, and I don't say this with arrogance or pride, I say that to let you know that I will not deceive you because I'm not going to give you Josh's words. I'm going to give you the words of Jesus. I'm just the messenger. But some people want to change it. You know what, I'm just going to say this because I met with a pastor this week, and I think it's important that we know not just the state of the world, because we can look at the world and go, oh my goodness, it's going to hell in a handbasket. But we need to look at the church too. I have a pastor friend who I met with this week. I don't know if you know this, but it's been over the course of years. It kind of got put on hold during COVID, but the United Methodist Church split. I don't know if you knew this. They actually created, and it finished in 2023, a brand new denomination called the Global Methodist Church. And my friend was telling me this because In a denomination, they own the buildings and the property. So the only way that you can break away is if you buy out from them. You have to buy out the property. You have to buy out the building. And there's all this price gouging going on. And there's penalties. And if you're going to do this, we're going to do this. And so basically, what he was telling me, out of the 350-plus churches in the Midwest, the United Methodist churches in the Midwest region, only 8 broke away. Because the other one simply couldn't afford it. Now, some of them just said, if this is the direction you're going, here's the keys, bye-bye, we'll meet somewhere else. But only 8 churches did that. And do you know what split the denomination? Homosexual marriage. And my friend was telling me, he said, you have no idea the evil that is in this organization. And he goes, and I'm not talking about the people. He goes, most of the laity that attend church, they don't know what's going on. But he said, at the top echelon levels in that denomination, he said, what they think, how they act, how they respond is evil. And that's the church. It's one denomination, but that's the church. So we need to be aware that we are in the days that not just truth and reality is disappearing from the world, truth and reality is leaving. It's just leaving, and people are not listening to Jesus anymore. They're not listening to the word anymore. And if some of you are on the fence about this, let me enlighten you, because I want you to hear it from me, and if you hate me, at least you heard the truth. Is people will say, the word homosexual does not appear in the Bible. So why did we come up with this? It's not that word. It is the word sodomite. And if you go and read what the people of Sodom were doing, it was homosexuality. And God destroyed them because of it. Now, big caveat. We live in grace, okay? So now we don't destroy people because of their sins, okay? So that does not, you know, don't misunderstand. Somebody's going to take that clip right off of YouTube and put it on the news and be like, Pastor Josh said we should go out and kill homosexuals. No, because if we do that, then we need to go out and kill liars. We need to go out and kill heterosexuals that are shacking up together before marriage. It's all sin. But we are under grace. That doesn't mean sin is okay. It means receive the truth that these types of lifestyles are destructive. The statistics prove that these types of lifestyles are destructive. It's destructive if you're shacking up together before marriage and there's children involved. It's destruction to the children. The homosexual lifestyle, you are like 3 and 4 times more likely for all these bad things to happen. Jesus isn't against people. He's saying this is the truth, and every other way is deception in order to destroy you. People think God's a mean guy because he doesn't want us to indulge in all of these things, and he's saying you may think they're fun, but I'm telling you it will destroy you. In the same way, any parent in here can see sometimes when a child is going down a path and they say, don't go down this way. It is nothing but trouble. But kids think they know everything. Just like sometimes Christians think they know everything. And unless it's something that Jesus says, we need to stop coming up with our opinions. Well, but maybe this. I was talking with a Christian the other day. I'm like, do you understand the Word of God says? Yes, I know the Word of God says this, but. And once they've said but, they've lost me. Because now, what God says and what He commands us to do is up for grabs. We have free will, but if you are in Christ, the Bible says to die to yourself, which means you no longer have a free will. You are choosing with your free will to give up your freedoms in order to follow Jesus. And we were talking about in men's group, you don't hear that preached a lot. Die to yourself, give up yourself. It doesn't matter what you want. It matters about being light, shining, and bringing people to Jesus. If you gave people that message, people aren't going to rush the platform and go, oh, I want that. So what do we preach? We preach messages on that. If you do this, God will take care of you. If you do this, God will bless your life. If you do this, God will bless your marriage. If you do this, and I'm not saying that He doesn't do that also, but if you're doing it for that motivation, the one time that you're going to have a problem in your marriage, the one time you're going to have a problem with your job, you're going to go, God, what's happening? I was following you so you'd take care of all of this. We have to be willing to die for Jesus Christ. And some of us just don't want to be inconvenienced for Jesus Christ. Is this harsh? This is reality. This is truth. He says, you will know the truth, and the reality will set you free. Now, here's an interesting thing. He doesn't say truth will automatically set you free. The truth you know will set you free. Because I'm giving truth to every single person in here, but you guys, if you don't receive it, it does not become truth to you, and it will not set you free. Do you know how free we could be if we stopped worrying about every little need that we need to satisfy? Or realize that's not the goal of being here? Here's the revelation. Some of you can plug your ears. You who have humble hearts receive this. It's not about you. How many times people come to church? I didn't like the worship in here. Well, who cares? Who cares what you feel? Who cares what you think? Well, I didn't really like Pastor Josh. He was kind of mean up there. Go to a different church. I used to lose sleep over this stuff, but I don't anymore. Because, listen, if your identity is in Christ, then he's the only one that you care about what he thinks, and he's pleased with you. He loves you. You're his beloved. If Jesus could wake up in the morning, but I know he's just always awake, you'd be the first thing on his mind. He's got your picture on his refrigerator. But see, if we focused on that, then when somebody says something to us, we don't fall apart in seconds. Because you know what the bottom line is? We actually care more about what that person thinks than about what Jesus thinks. So here's some truth, okay? It's the reality, the truth that you know that makes you free. If we can get this, if we could just change this perspective, we could be free. All right, let's go on. Okay, Jesus and Pilate are having a conversation. This is in the context of when I said Pilate said, what is reality? We're just not going to cover that verse. But this is earlier in the conversation. It says, Jesus answered Pilate, said, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I was born. For this I have come into the world. And he's about to ready to tell you why he was born and why he came into the world. That I may bear witness to truth or reality. Now look at this statement. Everyone existing out from and going toward reality, hear my voice. Now, I just so happen to have the Greek pulled up here. In the original translation, it says, everyone being of the truth hears my voice. But that word, everyone being of, and we've talked about this word before, it's the word ek, E-K. And it says that this is one of the most undertranslated and therefore mistranslated Greek propositions, often being confined to the meaning by. But it has a two-layered meaning. It means out from and going towards, which makes it outcome-oriented, out of the depths of the source and extending to its impact on the object. So when he says, everyone existing of the truth hears my voice, he's saying everyone existing out from and going towards. So that means taking truth, putting it in your mind, and actually living it out. It's not enough just to know the truth in the sense of, oh, it hit my brain. It's got to move to your heart, and your heart moves you to live the truth. And we can do this. We just have to remind each other in love. So if you've got somebody, you're like, you know what, I went to work and this coworker was just talking about me and they were spreading vicious gossip lies, you can just be like, hey man, that stinks. But I got a question for you. Why do you care what that person thinks? And see, but what does the world say? Well, that's just really being not very compassionate. And going, no, I said that stinks. But the problem is, we want to be so compassionate, we get into the carnality of all, and we live there. And then maybe at some point we go, yeah, that person stinks. I've got a coworker too. And then it turns into gossip, and it turns into sin. But what if we just reminded each other of truth and didn't take offense? Oh, this person that cut me off in traffic and da-da-da-da, and I was just so mad. Why? But see, right now when I'm saying why, you're sitting here, what do you mean why? Like, they could have killed me. They could have done all this. Yeah, they could have. But to live as Christ is to die is gain. And some of you are chuckling, but that's the truth. But some of us hold on to this life like, I don't know what it's like. I don't even know what to compare it to. Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain. But again, has that truth landed on your heart? Or do you just read it and it just stays in here? Do you live it? So he says, you say correctly that for I am a king, for this is the reason I was born, for this I have come into the world that I may bear witness to reality. Jesus is saying the entire purpose of him coming here is because after the garden, everything got perverted and twisted and is illusion and is a lie. I've come to tell you what reality is. Now, we may have had glimpses of that through what the Israelites following God in the Old Testament, but Jesus is saying the purpose as the King of Heaven coming into this earth is to bear witness of the truth. Everyone existing out from and going towards truth or reality hears my voice. Okay, let's move on. Here's another thing. So Jesus is talking about he proclaims truth, he proclaims the reality, and then he really brings it to the forefront. Jesus said, I am the way, which is a path or a road. The truth, and again, it's the truth, to the exclusion of anything else. I am the way, the truth, which is the reality, and the life. If he is the life, then any other way or truth is what? Death. Again, if you are not in Christ, if you are with family members who are not in Christ, if you are with coworkers that are not in Christ, if you're sitting here within the sound of my voice and you are not in Christ, I love you, you're dead. You must be born again, or born from above, born of the Spirit. No one can go to the Father except by way of me. And again, what do you have the world teaching? There are many ways to God. That is a lie from the devil. He loves it when people say that. How many people get up and get their awards or their Olympic medals? I'd like to thank God. Which God? And I know that there's some people that do this secondary, but what if everybody who said that they like to thank God, why don't they get up and say, I'd like to thank Jesus? Do you know why they don't? Because they would be persecuted like crazy. Because if they say God, which God is it? If they say Jesus, now we're being very specific. So Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the only path of the road. There's no other road that leads to God but me. I am the truth. I am the reality. Anything that is the opposite of what I'm telling you, who I am, who you are, is a lie. It's non-reality. And he's the life. So if you do not have Christ, you are dead. The Bible says, dead in your trespasses, you're dead in your sin. You cannot, I don't care how many good deeds you do, I don't care how many times you go to feed my starving children, I don't care how many Christian concerts you go to, none of that matters. If you are not in Christ, you are dead. And no one can go to the Father except by way of me. So all of these scripture verses that we've talked so far are specifically dealing with reality, truth. And again, if you choose to not believe that, then you are willfully choosing to be deceived. But what do people say? Well, that's your truth. No, it's the truth. Well, the truth is your truth. And see, so people willingly will just get in line and walk right into deception. All right, let's go on. So now we're going to move on to spirit. So we kind of covered a little bit of reality. Now we're going to cover spirit. From now on, everybody say from now on. Okay, from now on, everybody in here, this is how we're going to look at things. Remember, we're changing our perspective. From now on, we behold and receive no one according to the flesh. At one time, we beheld and perceived Messiah according to the flesh. However, we no longer experientially know him in this way. We know him in the Spirit or by the Spirit. And people are like, well, yeah, you know, that makes sense. You know, Jesus is in heaven. We know him by the Spirit. But we skip over and forget the first part. From now on, we behold and perceive no one. How many times are we just, oh, did you see what they were wearing? Oh, can you believe that was so like 5 years ago? Can you believe the way that they talked to me? Can you believe? Da, 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 and it's all flesh. We are not supposed to know people. And why does he say, how do we behold and know people? If you understand that there are people out there that don't know who they are in Christ, why are we expecting them to act like somebody who does? And people say, well, there's morality. If we don't have morality and we don't have laws, then there would be chaos and all of that's true. Yeah, but we're just corralling the evil. We're supposed to know people according to the Spirit. But how do we know people? We criticize people based on something they do in the flesh. We look down on people because of something they do in the flesh. When they make our flesh hurt, we lash out. When Jesus says, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to them the other one or the left, whichever one, you just flip the cheek. He's not saying that because he loves to see you get hurt. He's saying the flesh doesn't matter. That person who hits you is lost. Hitting them back isn't going to accomplish anything. Everything that he taught on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, chapters 5, 6, and 7, he's trying to give human language to spiritual ideas. Let me say that again. He's trying to give human language to spiritual realities. Do you know that Jesus wants heaven on earth right now? Not when he returns someday? Why did he say, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? If all believers were living reality, spirit, and identity and actually acting like it's true, things would be very different. I can guarantee you nobody's in heaven and you know, Gabriel walking by and going, did you see what Michael was wearing? And why isn't he hanging out with us archangels? Why is he hanging out with the seraphims? I'm speaking angelically to you, if you didn't know what those words are. But I'm just saying that it's not going on in heaven. People in heaven are healed. People in heaven are whole. People in heaven are not depressed. People in heaven, well, yeah, but we don't live in heaven. But the reason you're depressed, the reason that you're anxious and all of this kind of stuff is because you care what the world thinks. Well, don't you think some things are clinical? I think that they become that way because so long we have just engaged in our flesh. It's possible to get out of it. Otherwise, Jesus is a liar. Because he said, do not worry about your life. Matthew chapter 6. And it's like, man, this stuff is harsh. It's the truth. If you receive it, it will set you free. We got to stop giving this sissy gospel and give the truth that Jesus gave. Okay, let's go on. So this is the very next verse. Therefore, though what it's talking about previously, not knowing people after the flesh, Therefore, anyone who is in Messiah or in Christ, in Jesus, they are a brand new creation. If you are in Christ and think you are a human being, you be wrong. Because how could you be a brand new creation but still be human? You were born human, you get born again, and now you have a spirit from above that you didn't have before. You are a brand new creation. Now, you have to be careful. Don't cast your pearls before swine, as they say. Like, don't be trying to win the world of going, you know what, I'm not human. That might freak people out a little bit. You know you're not human. You know you're a child of the Most High God. You know that your dad is Yahweh Elohim. You know that Jesus is your brother. And so you just have to know that, and that truth will set you free, and then you just walk in light. So you're a brand new creation. Look at this. The archaea, which is the Greek word there, original or ancient, has passed away. Your original ancient human fallenness has passed away. Why would it not be that way? And when we talk about water baptism, when we put you under, it's your identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's the word archaea. What word do you think that we get from that? Archaic. Original or ancient. If we'd say that's archaic, that's ancient, that's old. It has passed away. Look or behold, the new has come into being or into existence. But again, it's like, well, then if that's true, then why do I still act this way? Why do I still feel this way? Does it get under my skin? Because now what you're supposed to do is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not talking about transformation on the inside. It's saying you've already been born again on the inside. Now tweak your mind to everything that the Bible says about you and live it. You still live in a world of deception, and the devil's like, you're not a son of God. Look what you did the other day. You're not a daughter of God. Remember what you said the other day? It's all lies, and it's all twisting, and it's all of that kind of stuff. It doesn't change who you are because of the way you behaved, but if we just knew who we were, we would behave differently. I am going to inherit heaven with Jesus. What do I care what some person said to me out the car window passing by? I mean, really? But see, we don't think that way because our mind has been corrupted by the things of this world. All right, let's go on. I'm going to wrap up here. Okay, now this is talking more on identity. We have come to experientially know and trust the love which God has for us. If you are confused or not sure if God loves you, you should go watch The Passion of the Christ and you'll figure it out pretty quick. You need to focus on the cross. You need to read about what happens during a crucifixion and how you're asphyxiated, and that basically Jesus was already on life support before they even nailed him to the cross because of the cat of nine tails and the lashings that he had. We're screaming at God sometimes, God, why would you do this? Don't you love me, God? I'm pretty sure he proved his love for all of us when he nailed his son to the cross. And people don't know that, going, how could he love Jesus if he did that? God has to punish sin. How many of you know this? He's not just, he's not righteous if he doesn't. And so Jesus said, I will go, I will take on the sin of the world. That's what John the Baptist said. Behold the Lamb that takes on the sin of the world. I will take all the sin in the world at one point in time, but past, present, and future sin, all in myself, and I will release my righteousness, my holiness. So it's done. It's a done deal. It was done 2,000 years ago. Again, our problem is we don't believe it. Our problem is we don't live in it. Our problem is we don't receive it. So therefore, we don't walk in it. We have it stored as knowledge. We read it in the scriptures, but does it affect our everyday life? And some of us don't even know that because we don't even know the last time we picked up a Bible outside of looking at slides at church. And that's not condemnation. It's just check yourself going, well, that's why the world keeps you down, because you're watching 8 hours of news a day and reading in your Bible for 30 minutes. I'm saying all of this, brothers and sisters, because in the end we win, right? But right now, in the body of Christ, like the denomination that I brought up, churches are closing their doors. It doesn't look like winning. And more people every single year are saying, I'm done with God. And it's a truth issue. I don't remember the exact statistic, and I know Aaron is down working with the little kiddos, but we went to a meeting at the school, and they gave a statistic on how many kids, young people in schools, do not believe in absolute truth anymore, and I think it was like 11%. 11. Because if Satan can get rid of truth, or there is no truth, or your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth, then that's going to be really hard to tell people that Jesus is the truth. And that's why I believe in these last days. We got to operate miracle signs and wonders. We got to show God to them. God is love. The person who remains in love remains in God. You want to remain in God? Remain in love. We were watching this teaching this week. Dan Moeller was talking about, when will we stop worrying about being loved and actually become love? When will we move out of the place of, I need ministered to? My whole life has fallen apart. Every single week it's fallen apart. I don't know why I'm making all the wrong decisions, but why is it falling apart? Instead of knowing who you are in Christ, rising up, following Jesus, walking in his light, being light, where you can actually be light to someone else instead of trying to get everybody's light to shine on you. We are coming into dark days, and we can't just show up every week and go, oh, this person made fun of me, just ministered to me, I'm so sad. I believe in ministering to people. I believe that there are moments to that, but some of us need ministry every single week, and that's sad. You are the light of the world. You are the son and daughter of the Most High God. You're going to inherit heaven. Who cares if you won the lottery? You're going to inherit heaven. You're going to be able to move at the speed of thought. But again, that's like far off in the distance. It doesn't even seem real. Well, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we need to start living heaven right now. The person who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. So the key to all of this is remaining in love and then becoming love. The love of God is perfect and complete with us. And we've talked about this concept before. His love is perfect and complete. How is it perfect and complete in us? Because it shines on us. He fills us with his love, and then his love passes through us to other people. We can actually stop the love of God passing to people in our lives. And what does he say? While you're here on earth, be love. And you could do everything else in ministry, great, but it means nothing if you are not love to other people. So it says the love of God is perfect and complete with us, constantly remaining in love, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. If you're remaining in love, God is remaining in you, you're remaining in him, then stop worrying about the future because it's all good. We may have confidence in the day of judgment. Why? Because just as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Why? Because we're in this world, we're not in heaven yet, right? My spirit is in Christ in heaven. Christ's spirit in heaven is in me, so you are in a sense in two places at once, but your body remains. So while we are in the earth, we do the works of Jesus. That's what Jesus said. Truly I say to you, you will do the works that I do and greater because I go to the Father. What's he saying? When I go to the Father, I can't do the works anymore. I can't be here with you. So I'm going to send my spirit so I can actually be everywhere in you, but you still got to act on it. You still got to believe. You still got to lay hands on the sick. You still got to preach the word. I'm just not going to do it through you and like possess you. You have to cooperate with what I want to do in the earth. Just as Jesus is, just as, that is the Greek word, just as, in the same way Jesus is, So are we in this world. That's crazy. Do you think you could carry your head a little higher knowing I'm just like Jesus? And there's this devilish thing that's maybe going through your head right now going, that sounds like blasphemy. And the devil wants you to believe that it's blasphemy because then you'll simply be a sinner saved by grace. Instead of a son, a daughter, a joint heir, and the inheritance of heaven. Do you see the difference that just simply language, if I'm just a sinner saved by grace, I'm not going to figure it out in this life. I'm just kind of trying to get by until I get to heaven. You're not going to do anything in life. You have to know who you are in Christ. That's the reality, and that reality is in your spirit, and that's where your identity comes from.